Good morning. How's everyone doing? If you can take out your Bibles and turn to John chapter 6, and inside of the bulletin is an outline to follow along with the message. I'm going to be starting a new series today, and I'm kind of excited about it. Anytime you talk about Jesus, and every week we talk about Jesus, so I'm excited every week. Hopefully you are too. But the title of this series is Jesus the Great I Am. And it's going to lead us up to Easter and past Easter. What we want to do, we want to focus on Jesus. And I thought there would be no better way than to go through what Jesus said about himself in the Gospel of John, where we have those seven statements that Jesus says, I am. Incredible statements. And this morning, we're going to be talking about where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. When we talk of bread, we usually think of food and we think of hungry. We're hungry and stuff like that, and some of you are probably going to have to make some huge decision in just a little bit of time. You're going to have to decide where you're going to go to lunch. You're going to have to decide, what am I going to do for lunch? Am I going to go here to go to maybe McDonald's or go south of the border to Taco Bell or whatever you're going to go to? Or go someplace, sit down and eat, or maybe you're going to say, I'm going to go to Rockford or DeKalb and go eat or just go home, but you got to make that decision. The other night I was in the house and I kind of opened up the fridge and I was hungry at night and I opened it up and I looked inside the fridge and I didn't find anything that would really satisfy me. So I leave and just a few minutes later I come back again and open the fridge like I'm going to find something magically appeared there to find something. And still there was nothing there to really satisfy me. So I took some Tostito chips and kind of ate them. And that's all they did. But it didn't satisfy. And God gives us this hunger. And it's a good thing because we realize we have to eat. And sometimes we find that we really find something that we really like. And we really go to a restaurant we like and we eat, or maybe it's Thanksgiving around the holidays, and we really stuff ourselves. I mean, we feel so full of what we eat, and we say, man, I'm not going to eat for days now. But the fact of the matter is, tomorrow you're going to be hungry again. That's just the way it is. We eat and then we got to eat again. We're meant to eat and bring in nutrients. Then we expend the energy. Then we eat again and do it all over again to replenish the nutrients. And this cycle goes on and on and on. And it seems like we never can be satisfied. We always have to eat and then we have to eat again and eat again. Never satisfied. That happens then more than just with food, but it also happens in other things in our life. Like with technology, when we bought our first computer, I don't know about you, we bought the computer and wondered, do we really need one of these things many, many years ago? And we finally go and buy it, and we purchase this computer, and they're really expensive, the first ones you had to buy. And I remember the salesman telling us, this computer is so large in memory, it will last you for years. You may never have to buy another one because it's got so much memory. I can't imagine anything coming out that you need more memory. And I think the computer had about 8 or 16 megabytes. Can you imagine that? We're never satisfied because we got to add more and more and more. And then we have our smartphones, and the smartphones come out. I don't know if you remember years ago, when I first grew up, when I was younger, we lived in kind of a subdivision. We had a private line, phone line. But then my parents decided to move out in the country when I was about 13 years old in a very rural area. And we had a party line. How many of you ever had a party line? You guys are revealing your age and all that, don't you, when you say that. You have a party line, and what it is, a party line is many people are on the same line, and the only way you know the difference of the phone call is the different ring or whatever it is, and you might have a long ring or a bunch of short rings, and when the phone would ring, you'd pick it up. It was your ring, you'd pick it up, but somebody else could pick it up and listen to too. And you can listen to their phone conversation as well, at least that's what I'm told. But so then we had the private lines come out, and that was something really amazing. We had our own phone line so nobody could listen in. And then we got the cell phones, the big cell phones, the big flip phones we had, and some even had bigger ones than that. And then we got the smartphones came out, and things were amazing. And every few months, new technology comes out, and we've got to have the latest one because we're never satisfied. It seems like this life, we're never satisfied. We always want something else, the newest thing that comes out. And C.S. Lewis wrote this, and I love this. This quote. He says, If I find myself with desires and nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation, I was made for another world. I was made for another world. Think about that. If nothing will satisfy me, it means I must be made for another world. And we enjoy these things in this world, but we need to remember the things that are bought with money. Well, one day will rust and will fade, and one day they're going to lose their glimmer. No matter what we buy, sooner or later, we set it aside and say, it's not what we expected, or we got to have something new or something. And then we always want more. And when we see that, we have to realize that we're made for another world. We're made for something else. And this world cannot satisfy us. Well, that's the lesson that Jesus was trying to teach a large group this day in John chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, hopefully you have them in John chapter 6. At the beginning of the chapter, Jesus is preaching to a large group of people. And it came at the end of the day where they were hungry and they needed to eat. And they didn't have any food. So the disciples came to Jesus and said, what are we going to do? We really don't have enough money and really don't have enough time. And they found this little boy with the lunch. And he had 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. But they had to feed 5,000 people, and there was no way that was going to feed 5,000 men, the Bible says, besides women and children. And many people believe there were at least 15,000 people were there that day that Jesus was going to feed. And you know the story. Jesus takes that lunch from that little boy, and he multiplies it, and he fed thousands of people that day. And everybody had their fill. And when they sent their baskets around, they actually had 12 baskets of food left over, more food left over than when they started with. Enough for the disciples to have probably for days. And Jesus was trying to teach them something special that day. He was trying to help them to understand something. And he was saying to the group of disciples, says, you know, I am the bread of life, and you need to understand this. And though the book of John talks about these 7 I am statements that are very special of Jesus, and each one of these I am statements that Jesus is trying to get across is trying to take people from the physical world in which they understood to the spiritual world in which Jesus wanted them to understand. But they are having a very difficult time of making that leap from the physical to the spiritual. And we have a hard time with that many times. Many people does. Because we live so much in the physical world, don't we? We're always in the physical. We're always talking about the physical because we can't see the spiritual world. So that's not really on our mind. So the physical. You remember Nicodemus, when Jesus told him, he said, Nicodemus, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. And Nicodemus kind of scratches his head. Do you mean I've got to enter into my mother's womb a second time to be born again? No, Nicodemus was caught up in the physical. Jesus was giving him the physical, a metaphor, so he could understand the spiritual. And what Jesus was saying, they have to be born again spiritually from above. And that's what born again is. They were born spiritually from above. And that's what he was telling me. You have to be born again. And so we let's look at John chapter 6. We kind of have the context. He fed the 5,000. Right after he fed the 5,000, he gets in a boat and he goes to the other side of the lake. And many people followed him to the other side of the lake. They actually walk around the lake to meet Jesus on the other side. And that's where we are. Now you have the background. And so this morning in your notes, I'm going to give you 3 truths about the bread of life. And I want to give you the first one right up front. So as we're reading this passage, you can start to understand what I mean. Number one, you should no longer put your hope in things that perish. You should no longer put your hope in things that perish. Let's begin with verse 25. In John chapter 6, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed the seal of approval. So what happens here, they get to the other side and Jesus is already there and he says, Rabbi, Jesus, when did you get here? So Jesus begins to challenge their motives and he's asking him, says, you are here, but why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here on this other side? We met on the other side, but why are you here right now? He's saying, it wasn't a sign that you saw me and you says, boy, there's something different about me, that I'm not just another man, but I'm God. That's not why you're here. He says, you're here because you had your fill of food and now that's gone and you're hungry. That's why you're here. He was challenging their motives. In other words, what he's saying, many people in that day followed Jesus to whatever they could get out of him. They get a meal out of him or another opportunity to kind of see a miracle, whatever they could get out of Jesus. And many people today go from miracle to miracle and want Jesus to meet all their needs, following him and trying to get what they can get out of him instead of trying to understand who he really is. To really understand who he is. See, Jesus wants to take us from the physical to the spiritual. He wants us to understand there's more to this life than just the physical. But what's really important is the spiritual. And he's constantly trying to teach us that, to understand that. And he says things that many times challenges our minds and hearts because we can't understand it because we're thinking the physical. And Jesus says, well, I'm talking about the spiritual because that's what's really important. The spiritual will last for all of eternity. The physical will not. And so that's what's important. See, they didn't realize that what that miracle that Jesus did actually revealed to them. They were so interested in the loaves of bread and the fish that they had. They didn't even see who made it. They didn't even comprehend who made this for me. And these people may have not have known, but their needs went much deeper than just food. It went much deeper than just a lunch or dinner, whatever it was. And Jesus says, when he gave him that, it was revealed, when he gave him that food, it was revealed that I can help you with much deeper things than this. If I can provide a meal for you, I can provide anything else for you. I can meet all your needs, is what Jesus wanted us to know and wanted them to know. See, we today have more needs than just pastor physical of food and clothing. There's much more things that Jesus wants to do for us than just those things. And sometimes that's all we focus on. Jesus, I need this or need that. And we focus on the food and those kind of things. See, we have eternal needs. And that's what Jesus wants to focus on. Spiritual needs concerning life and death and relationships and all those kind of things. And Jesus said, I can meet all your needs, just not physical food, but I can meet all your needs. And he said, you need to focus on the spiritual and not pay so much attention to those things that perish. The physical is what he's telling us. And so the eternal things, the things of God is what he's talking about. The things he says that give eternal life, that's what's important. That's what lasts forever. All these other things, the physical, only last for a short time. And he said, don't focus on those things. The things that last forever are the spiritual things. Focus on those. The second truth about the bread of life, he says this. There is a hunger inside us that needs to be reconciled with God. There's a hunger inside us that needs to be reconciled with God. Beginning with verse 28, it comes in. Then they asked him, what must we do do the works God requires? And Jesus answered, the work of God is this, believe in the one he has sent. Verse 30. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Verse 32, Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So they come and they ask Jesus, said, Jesus, give us some of that bread, you know, give us another miracle, like the miracle that Moses gave us when he gave our forefathers this manna. We want that kind of thing. If you could give us food like that, Jesus, that would be great because we would never have to search for food again and all our food would be provided. And that's what they thought. They said, give us that. So Jesus takes them back to that day to remind them of some things. And you remember, they were wandering in the desert because of their sin and they were hungry. And God provided manna for them each and every day. And they couldn't store it because God had it that it would spoil. So said they got to gather it each and every day. And what God did miraculously provided manna for them so they could have food each and every day, all that they needed for that day. No more for the next day, just for that day. It would spoil and they'd have to go out and gather it again. And they wanted to see a miracle like that from Jesus. Says, show us a miracle like that, and if you do, Jesus will believe. Give us that miracle. So Jesus corrected them in three ways from this passage of scripture. He wants them to understand something. First, the Father, not Moses, gave the manna. You need to understand it wasn't Moses that gave you that. You need to be correct. It was my Father who gave you that. Second, the Father was still giving manna today. Not just back then, but he's still giving manna today. And he wants to offer it you today, what he's saying. And that's three, the true bread from heaven is Jesus, just not the manna. The manna was a picture of what God was going to give to them. Manna was a picture that came from heaven in the Old Testament of the true picture of Jesus Christ coming from heaven to this earth to offer himself the bread of life. And that's what it was. He says, this same God, my Father, he says, now is giving you bread from heaven, which is far greater than the bread that manna that your forefathers had in the desert with Moses. What God is offering you today is far greater because that bread only fed them physically. The bread that I'm offering you will give you life eternal. He says, this is the bread I'm giving you. And that's what he gave them. That's what he was sharing with them. But the crowd missed the words. They didn't understand what Jesus was talking about. They didn't understand about this food that lasts for eternal life. They couldn't think of it because they were thinking of the physical. Instead, they focus on the words of Jesus about working. They focus on those things. Wanted to know how we carry out the works of God. That's what they were focused on. Jesus, how do we carry out these works of God? And that's really an age-old question that people constantly ask today. Nothing has changed. People still ask that same question. What do we have to do? to have this relationship with God. What do I have to do to get to heaven? Tell me what I have to do and I'll do it. That's what people ask, and that's what they were asking. And we see right here that Jesus gives them a very straightforward answer. He says, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The only work that God requires for you and I is to believe in Jesus Christ, his son, whom he has sent. That is for salvation. For you and I to come to him and just accept Jesus Christ, his son, as our savior. See, that's the only work that God has required. For you and I to have a relationship with God. For you and I to have that eternal life. That's the only thing that's required. But for some reason, we feel better trying to earn God's favor by works than receiving that free gift that he's given us through his son, Jesus. We have to feel like we've got to earn it. We got to do something for it. And we see this over and over in people's lives. And every time I think about this, I think about the story in Acts chapter 16, where Paul and Silas were there in Philippi. And Paul and Silas, they just cast out a demon that was inside of this young girl who was a fortune teller. And Paul did it because she was really annoying him. And he turns around and he cast out this demon. This girl was fortune telling, and she was bringing a lot of money to a lot of people because they depended on this little girl. And they got so angry at Paul and Silas that they grabbed them, they beat them, and they put them in prison, and they had them chained. And you think that Paul and Silas that would be chained there would be all upset. Say, I can't believe this. We're living for God. We're doing good things. And people are upset with us. But the Bible says around midnight, they began to sing and worship God because they were so filled with Jesus. They had tasted the bread of life and they were satisfied. They had everything that they needed and they could not stop from singing. So they began to sing and they began to worship God and praising him with all their hearts and minds. And I imagine in the prison cell, everybody's listening to these guys who are all beaten up and in chains and they're singing and praising God and Jesus. And about that time, the Bible says an earthquake happens. And the earthquake is so great, so violent, that everything inside the prison cell shakes. And all the cell doors open, and their chains fall off, and their prisoners are set to go free. And the prison guard comes out, and he sees this and realizes all the prison cells are open. And he knows that he's going to be in trouble if all these prisoners get out. So he takes his sword, and he's about to kill himself. And Paul says, wait, don't harm yourself. We're all here. And the prison guard brings out Paul and Silas, and he asked them this question, a very important question that people ask, is that, Paul, what do I have to do to have eternal life? What do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do to have what you have? That's what I want. I want what you have. What do I got to do? You tell me what I got to go do, and I'll do it, whatever it is, physically. Do I got to go do? What do I got to do? And that's what people want. They want to go do something. And what does Paul say? He says something very simply. He says, all you have to do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's nothing you have to do. It's already been done for you. It's just putting your faith and trust in Christ. So you and I don't have to do anything except believe in Jesus. That is for salvation. Once we come to Christ, now we are to live and serve him with good works by living for him. Let's read on in verse 34. It says, sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. From now on, that's the bread we want right there. Unable to grasp what Jesus was telling him, that he was offering himself as the bread of heaven. That's what he was offering, eternal life. Their crowd said, from now on, give us this bread. And they were just like the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, who asked Jesus, says, Jesus, give me that living water from the well that I will never have to thirst again. So I won't have to come to this well, make this long trip to this well and carry this water back. I want that water that you have so I'm never thirsty again physically. So they were still asking about the physical. They're all concerned about their bellies being thirsty, and people were constantly concerned about that. Pascal, a French mathematician and philosopher, said this. He said, there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person which cannot be filled with any created thing, but only by God the Creator made known through Jesus Christ. So many people in our world try to fill that God-shaped vacuum with all kinds of things, all kinds of bought items, very expensive items. They try to fill it with work. They try to fill it with drugs. They try to fill it with money. They try to fill it with sometimes pornography and all kind of affairs and stuff like that. And there's nothing wrong with money or work or expensive items. There's nothing wrong with those kind of things, work and all those kind of things, but they make a lousy God. There's nothing wrong with money, but money can only solve money problems. But it makes a lousy God, and that's what we have to understand. And we try to fill our soul with any of these items. If anything in this world, when we try to fill it, we're going to come up empty. It will not satisfy. We won't feel like, man, I've accomplished it. We will soon have it and sooner or later realize it does not satisfy. It does not make me complete. There's something missing. Many years ago, Tom Brady, I'm sure most of you know Tom Brady. He's a quarterback in the New England Patriots. Some of you might like him. Some of you may not like him. But many years ago, right after he signed a multi-year contract or the multi-million dollar contract, he is married to a supermodel, if you don't know that. He's gotten much fame. At this time of the interview, he had already won 3 Super Bowls. And as they were interviewing Tom Brady, he makes this comment. He says this, "Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I reached my goal. God, there has to be more than this." And the person doing the interview said, "Tom, what do you think it is?" And Tom Brady said, "I wish I knew. I wish I knew." And what we find out, that God-shaped vacuum that God has placed in each and every one of us cannot be filled by supermodels or Super Bowl rings or anything else in this world. It will not do. There's a vacuum that God has placed in each one of us. There's this void, and no matter what we try to find it in this world, we'll never find it. The only one that can fit that void, that vacuum, is Jesus. He's like that perfect puzzle piece that only he can fill, and our life will always feel empty. We'll always feel like I'm missing something or something just not right. The only one that can fill that is Jesus. Jesus, and that's what he was talking about here. But the crowd, that crowd that day wanted that daily supply of physical bread. That's what they wanted. They're asking Jesus for the bread. And God had given them his son, the true bread of heaven that would give them eternal life. God had offered them something far, far greater than anything they could imagine. But they did not see what God was offering. They did not see it. They did not see what Jesus was offering. He was offering something greater than they possibly could imagine. I'm offering you eternal life. Not just any life. Life in heaven with me forever, what he was offering. But the crowd was asking for the physical still. They did not understand. So Jesus responds. Listen to his response in verse 35. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." The third truth about the bread of life, and this is so, so important for all of us, is Jesus satisfies. Jesus satisfies. Jesus said, "I am." It's like Jesus is letting him know who he was. He's talking about I am, and if you know anything about the I am, and I'm sure you do, but let me remind you, Jesus is referring all the way back to Exodus chapter 3, where Moses is with God in the burning bush, and he asks God, he says, "God, if I go back to Egypt, deliver your people, and they ask me your name, what should I tell them your name is?" And God says, "Tell them I am. I am has sent you." And now Jesus, here in John chapter 6, is picking up that statement and says, "I am the God of the burning bush. I am the God of Moses. I am of always have been. I am he. And I am today. And I am divine. I am deity. I am God," is what he's relating to all that could read this. And that's what he wants us to know. He is God. And he says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty again." Again, Jesus is not talking about the physical, but he's talking about the spiritual so they might understand this. He goes, "I am the bread of life." Do you understand it? He's talking about a person. He's not talking about something. He's talking about a person. He's talking about himself. He's talking about Jesus. Here's the things, guys. As believers in Jesus Christ, so many times we get so wrapped up that, "God, if you give me this, you bless me here, you do this, then I'll be satisfied. If you do this," and we want to live like that from blessing to blessing and miracle to miracle, and we think that's what's going to satisfy us. That is not. Jesus gives you everything, it's not going to satisfy. The only thing that can satisfy you is a person. And it's Jesus. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have to understand that the only thing that will satisfy is Jesus, him and him alone. Not what he can give you, not what he does, how he blesses you and answers your prayers. It's Jesus himself. And that's what he was offering them. "I'm offering you myself. I am the bread of life." He said, "If you believe in me," and he goes on, "if you accept Jesus spiritually," he gives some promises here. And the one is, "You will never hunger," is the next fill in the blank. For a person comes to Jesus, he promises this, that you will never hunger. Remember, this is spiritually what he's talking about. In this world, there's a starving and craving need for life, that people want life and they want to see such abundant life. And we have a craving for life and a life that is full and satisfying, a life that is nourishing and kind of sustaining, a life that's energizing and had all our desires fulfilled, a life that is filled with excitement and contentment and significance. We all want that kind of life. That's what Jesus is talking about here. He says, a person comes to me, they will never hunger. I promise I will give them life. He says, the gnawing of this life, he says, a craving for life. He said, you come to me, you will be completely filled. He said, you will be completely satisfied is what Jesus is promising every one of us when we come to Jesus. Jesus has come to in the world to fill us up. Not with stuff, not with all these miracles and stuff, with himself. That's what he's talking about. He says, I want you to be stuffed with me, with Jesus. He says, I've come so you might be overflowing with Jesus. Not with all the other stuff, not what he can give you, not what he can do for you, but with Jesus. That's what he came for. Be overfilled with him and live the life that I've called you to live because you're filled with me. That we are Christian, full of Jesus, full of Christ is what we're supposed to be. Christ followers. That's what he wants. That's what he's talking about. And as Christians go around so many times, man, there's just something that's missing out of my life. There's something that I don't have. And we're talking as believers. God never meant for his believers in Christ to be talking like that. We're supposed to have this fullness, and it's Jesus. If we don't have it, it's because we're not drawn to him and being stuffed with Jesus in our hearts and our minds. We're relying on other things. And God wants us to be filled with him. And when we come to him, he lets us realize all these other things are less important. He lets us realize what's really, really important in life, and it's spiritually to know Jesus and to walk with him and to be filled with him. Be filled with him. Now, God's ready to fill you. All you got to do is yield your heart and mind to him. Yield your will to him. Yield your heart to him and say, God, I want you. God's right there. He's right there to fill us. He's right there to help us. Next, he promises us, he says this, never hunger, but never thirst. Never thirst. If a person in Jesus comes to him, he says their thirst will be quenched. Now, he's not talking about physically. He's talking spiritually. It will be quenched. But we know what it is when someone is so thirsty and they need something. They have some water and just fills that quench. That's what he's talking about. He says every need of life, of nourishment and growth will be met, I promise. Everything, he says, will be met. Nothing is left or lacking is what Jesus is saying to you and I. That doesn't mean that you will not hunger for righteousness, but your hunger will never go unsatisfied, is what he's promising you and I. Every need will be met. Your needs will be met. Not your wants. Your needs will be met. That's what he said. That's what he says. See, bread does four things. I was kind of studying this. It nourishes. It sustains life. It satisfies. It energizes. And it creates a desire for more and more. And that's what God wants us. When we taste the bread of life, we see the goodness of Jesus, and we have this craving for more. Like, think of your favorite dessert, your favorite food. God says, you're to crave for me like that, even more, because what I have you is far greater. We're to crave for him. I want more. I want more. I can't get enough of Jesus. I want more and more. As believers, we cannot think in our mind that we go from miracle to miracle to miracle and kind of reduce God to some type of vending machine to give us what we want. And when we don't get what we want, we kind of get angry at God and we're upset with him. When we do this, we're just like these people that Jesus is talking about here in the large group, the 5,000. God gave them food and they come to him. We want more now. We're not satisfied. We want more. We want more of your food. Give us more food. And that's all they were asking. So when we come to Jesus and we put our faith and trust in him, he promises to fill us up, to give us all that we can handle. No matter where we are in our life, we will never be angry. We don't never get discouraged because we're filled up with Jesus is what the Bible says. And we're satisfied in Jesus, completely satisfied. That's what he came to do. So you and I would be satisfied so we don't have to go after all these other things. And if you're going after all these other things, it's because you're not seeking Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Doesn't mean we can't have that stuff, but does that stuff have you? Does that stuff take you away from Jesus, from being here on Sunday morning, from being here worshiping him, from serving him? Does it take you away from that? If it does, that stuff has you, to be honest to you. And God says, I want to be first. You need me. You need to be filled with me, is what he's saying. We need to have him. To accept the bread of life means I come to him and I accept Jesus and I am satisfied. I'm satisfied as a person because now he has filled me with everything that I need for life. And I don't need anything else because I have Jesus. And he promised to provide for me. And nothing can change that circumstance. Nothing. We may go and say, I need this, this, and this. But no, you don't. You have everything you need in Christ. And he promised to provide for all your needs if we just trust him. And my question this morning, have you found Jesus? Some of you here, have you put your faith? Have you tasted the bread of life? Have you come and placed your faith in him? Are you out there in this world and you're looking for something else that's going to fill that God-shaped vacuum in your heart and your mind? You're trying to fill it with something. So, I need more stuff. I need more money. I need a bigger house. I need whatever it is that you say, I got to have, and then I'll be satisfied. You will never find it. It will never work. You will never be satisfied. There's only one person that can satisfy you, and that is Jesus. And so I pray this morning that God may convince you by the power of the Holy Spirit, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that you need Jesus right now. That you come to the point and you realize that God loves you so much and he desires to have a relationship with you, but because of your sin, it separates you between you and God. And so Jesus came from heaven to earth and he went to the cross and he died on the cross for all those sins, all those things that separate us from God. And if we come to him and place our faith and trust in him, he promised to forgive us our sins, and now we have that relationship with him. And now we have forgiveness of sins. Now we tasted the goodness of the bread of life, and now we can't get enough of them. I got to have more. I've got to have more. That's the way it should be. That's the way he wants it to be. My other question, all of us who know Jesus today, let's recognize he's all we need. Let's be honest. I mean, we may want other things, but they can't satisfy. Let us realize that no matter what you buy, no matter what you do, it will not satisfy. The only one that can truly satisfy is Jesus. So my question comes to you is with Jesus to kind of evaluate your own heart and your own mind. Why are you serving him? Why are you serving Jesus today? Ask yourself that question. Are you serving him because you're looking for another meal? Are you serving him to just get what you can out of him? It's not the right motivation. Why are you serving Jesus? Are you serving him just getting another blessing, another prayer answered or whatever we need? Is that why we're serving him? And when those blessings don't come our way, we get all angry at God and we kind of shake our fist at God. Like, why, God? Why did you allow this to happen in my life? Are we really seeking the bread of life? Jesus said he's the only one that can fill us up and satisfy. Him. Not what he can give us. Him. The person. The person, that's what he's talking about here. And he promises that when you and I come to him and we accept him and we really put our faith and our hope and our trust in him, he promises that he is the bread of life. And this is what he promises. He promises he will satisfy our soul today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever. That's what he promises us. And there's only one who can fill us. And that is the bread of life, Jesus. He's the only one that can truly satisfy us because you and I were not meant for this world. We're meant for another world to be with Jesus. And that's what he's trying to let us know. He said, I'm trying to take you from the physical to the spiritual. He's trying to give us a great truth this morning to realize all these things that you have in this world is stuff that's good, but they will not satisfy you. Stop running after them. Stop going after them. Stop living for them. Because the only one that matters is Jesus. The only thing that will last is Jesus. All these other things we've ran after our life and we think, boy, I've got all this stuff. Guys, we're going to live so long here. If you live 100 years old, that's a long life. That's a short time compared to eternity. When we're going to be with Jesus forever. And those things that we have for eternity, for eternal, will last forever. So let's spend our time focused on the eternal things that we're going to have forever, not in these things we have for a very short time. Doesn't mean we can't have stuff. Doesn't mean we can't have expensive stuff, but they should not have us. Our focus should be on Jesus. He's the only one that satisfies. Let's pray. Lord, we come and we praise you. We thank you so much for you, Jesus, the one who satisfies, the bread of life. Lord, to have a taste of you and the goodness of Jesus, Lord, I pray for each and every one of us this morning that we'd taste of Jesus, the bread of life, and Lord, we would crave, I mean literally crave for more of you. That say, God, I can't get enough of you. I've got to have more of you. That, Lord, you would give us that desire, that passion for the bread of life with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we would seek you, search out for you, read about you, so we would be stuffed and overflowing and filled with you. And Lord, when we're like that, there's nothing can stop us. There's nothing can contain us but to share the good news of Jesus. Lord, to have a church and have a group of people that are stuffed with Jesus, full of Jesus, there's nothing that can stop us. There's nothing can get in our way what you might do. So Lord, I pray, as we're worshiping you here and we realize how much you love us, how much you did for us, that our hearts and minds might break for you. Our hearts and minds might say, God, I want you. You're the only one that will satisfy. You're the only one that will do. Lord, let us come to that truth, to that conclusion. You are the bread of life, come down from heaven to give us all that we need, not only yesterday, not only today, but forever. You're the only one that will really last, the only one we can depend upon, the only one that will truly be faithful to us, the only one who will never let us down. You are the true bread of life who satisfies, that we will never hunger or thirst again when we come to you. And I pray that each and every one of us will realize that this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit, we might come to you, Lord, and just surrender our hearts and minds to you and to really worship the bread of life, Jesus. And surrender to you so that we might live the life you called us to live. Lord, we praise you and we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. Help us to love you, Lord. Help us to love you and to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.